It was a crazy start to the NFL season for the Kansas City Chiefs as they rally from a 12-point deficit, knock off the Browns this past Sunday by a final of 33-29. Here to recap that one and look ahead to the Ravens and talk Chiefs football is Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest. Check out his work online. Does a wonderful job covering the Chiefs, and it's always great to hear Matt's voice because that means we know it is NFL football season. Matt, how you been, man?
Hey, I've been doing pretty well. Wade, how about yourself?
I've been doing well, and I am very excited about what took place this past weekend. I'm sure people are pretty concerned about the defense, but let's just start with how exciting that game was. The fans are back in the stadium. Certainly played a difference, and I have to admit to you, after the game, later that night and the next day here on our show, which was yesterday, I still was scratching my head trying to figure out how in the world the Chiefs won that football game, because I thought the Browns, for the most part, played perfectly in the first half in particular. And I only could chalk it up to Mahomes magic, Arrowhead magic. The comparison I came up with yesterday was when I watched KU men's basketball, there have been many games over the years where they are just absolutely outplayed for 35 or 40 minutes. And somehow in the final 5 minutes, they find a way to win, and they call it Allen Fieldhouse magic. And it seems to be something similar with what the Chiefs just experienced. How would you describe the win for the Chiefs on Sunday?
Yeah, I think this is about as apt a way as you can describe it as possible. I mean, it was truly a five-play sequence that changed the entire course of this game because, you know, the Browns go up 29-20 with, about 10-20 left in the game. And at that point, the Chiefs need two scores and a stop in order to get back into this game. And you got to be thinking of the way that the first three quarters have gone, you know, how likely is that? And then what happens? They get a one-play touchdown, they get a stop, and then the turnover on the punt problem there. And 5 plays later, they're knocking on the door, and they're able to get in and take the lead. In 2 minutes of game time, it completely turns around, and the ball game is completely altered. That is just what this team does. I mean, it wasn't a whole lot different than the Super Bowl win and a lot of other wins that we've seen with this team over the years.
It reminded me a little bit about the Super Bowl a couple years ago. Yeah, because, I mean, the 49ers were in control of that game, and it was a long pass under duress to Tyreek Hill from Patrick Mahomes that changed the complexion of that game. And quite honestly, you know, I think when Chubb had the fumble on Sunday, you're thinking, all right, you got to cash this in, get a touchdown. Then the Chiefs got cute, you know, inside the 10 with the quarterback formation of Kelsey, and then they had the penalty, then they had to call a timeout, they settled for three, and you're like, I was sitting there going, man, that was a missed opportunity. And then the Browns come right back down and score, as you mentioned, 29-20, and then just like that, you snap your fingers, Mahomes under duress, he scrambles, and when he scrambles right, many times good things happen, and he throws one deep down the field, and you know, a little bit underthrown, which is actually the greatness of that, is you let your receiver make the adjustment because the DB is running so hard, usually trying to catch up to Tyreek Hill. But it did remind me a little bit of that Super Bowl win, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was very similar. I mean, other than, the, you know, tack on touchdown at the end and everything. But you're right. I mean, the play to Hill, I mean, even as far as the catch and the adjustment was very similar. Timing, I mean, when everything took place, very similar. And to me, I mean, especially when you look at some of the other games around the league, I mean, it tells me that the difference between the Chiefs and so many other teams in the league is that they have composure. And it's not just the quarterback. It's the guys around the quarterback, too, that have composure. Because you look at other games that happened this week, and especially the Monday night game, I saw two teams with almost zero composure. Chiefs have it all. And that's why it's tough to beat them, because you get into the fourth quarter, and we talk as much about this team being a second quarter team, that they put teams away, and they usually do. I mean, the second quarter under Patrick Mahomes, this team is just statistically absolutely crazy. But in the fourth quarter, they just put games away. And it just goes to show, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's absolutely true with this team. You got to play four quarters.
Matthew Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. First of all, I'm just so happy that Patrick Mahomes plays for the team I cheer for that I've loved all these years, because if I had to deal with going against the Chiefs and Mahomes, I would be pulling all my hair out. I'm so thankful we don't have to go against him. He's on our side, because I'm sure you heard it after the game. Myles Garrett really insinuated that it was kind of a lucky throw, you know, to Hill, and it wasn't a beautiful throw and so forth and so on. But yet, Matt, when you look back at this, this is no fluke. I mean, we mentioned the throw to Tyreek Hill under duress in Super Bowl 2 years ago to beat the 49ers. They also did this against the Ravens a few years back when Mahomes threw that one back across the middle. That's usually a no-no, and Hill made the big catch on a fourth down play. Chiefs ended up winning that game. Some people at the time said, well, that was pretty lucky. How about the one he threw to the Chargers in the fourth quarter to Tyreek Hill? Threw it up. Tyreek just went up and got it and ended up, you know, scoring. And they've done it other times, too, where he's just thrown it up. And Tyreek Hill, even though he's kind of short, sometimes he's been able to high point it and score a touchdown. To me, that's not luck when it happens multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's another cliche. That's absolutely true in this case. You make your own luck sometimes. And, yeah, I mean, and that's a case of it because – The Chiefs know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes knows. Tyreek Hill knows. I mean, that in a situation like that where, you know, especially when he's just one-on-one, that if you throw the ball to Tyreek Hill, that he's going to win one-on-one matchups most of the time, even and especially if he has to make adjustments. Because we, as much as we talk about the speed being an advantage of him just being able to outrun people, we've talked about Tyreek Hill as basically a center fielder since he's come into the league.
Yeah.
He's just got that ability to track balls and make adjustments. And when you're going up against a single defensive back who can't be looking back at the ball and is too busy trying to keep track of Tyreek, that's just a matchup you can't win. So that's not luck. I mean, the Tyreek Hill's ability to make those catches is pure skill, and it's probably an innate skill. Because Andy Reid's talked about it before, he's just not sure you can teach that. But because Tyreek Hill's got it, and there's a lot of other guys around the league who don't have it, and that's what another one of the reasons that makes him so valuable as a player.
One of the things that always stands out with what Mahomes has said over the years he's been a starter, and this is his fourth year as a starter, is he's always told his receivers, "Don't give up on a play. Just keep going. Just keep going." And there were a few times, I think, the first year or two when he was a starter, every once in a while, a receiver, whether it be Hill or D-Rob or somebody else, maybe would kind of slow down or something. No. I can get it to you. Just keep on going. And you can see that in that play the other day against the Browns. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket, talking Chiefs. Let's address the offensive line. Yeah, I saw some people being a little bit critical of Orlando Brown, and he gave up a sack or two. Certainly that one late was not ideal, although I think you could make an argument that Mahomes did take a deeper drop on a third down and long. I think you could also defend Orlando Brown. At least I will. He's going up against maybe the best pass rusher in the National Football League, at least one of the best edge rushers. It's also his first game in the system. So for me, I'm going to take a chill pill here. I'm going to relax a little bit because Mahomes is a different type of cat. Different type of quarterback, and I think it takes a little bit of time to get used to where he's going to scramble, what's he going to do, especially for a new lineman. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you hit a big point of mine, which is that exactly, that, you know, especially with the guys on the edge with Brown and Lucas Niang, is that, yeah, you've got to learn what your quarterback wants, and they did not have the chance. This was their first chance, truly, to be able to go up against the starting defensive line in the NFL, because even in those three preseason games, they were generally facing backups. You know, they went up against teams that were not still playing their starters on defense. And then not only are you playing against your first starting defensive line, but, yeah, it's also one of the better ones in the league with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney out there. So it was a trial by fire for sure. And, yeah, it wasn't pretty. There were some rough moments at times. They had some good moments, too. There were some individual performances. You know, I think Creed Humphrey played pretty well. Trey Smith had some pretty good moments, too. I think it was terrible. I mean, it was certainly something that they can absolutely build on. But you're right. I mean, part of it is the tackles learning about where their quarterback likes to be in the pocket, where he wants to be, how they can protect him there, how they can walk guys around. It's up to, you know, Mahomes a little bit to learn about the strengths and weaknesses of his guys and where he can settle in and where he needs to escape. I think we've seen that a couple of times so far, is that he's still learning about these guys. So, you know, where the escape lanes are, he doesn't quite know yet. But yeah, I mean, and for Brown, we say walking around guys, can't walk around Myles Garrett. I mean, he's gonna get you sometimes. And he sure got him on Sunday. That's going to happen.
Yep, I agree with you. He's a great player. The defense, absolutely abysmal in the first half. Gave up 318 yards. Browns could do anything that they wanted. Second half, the Chiefs were helped out by their offense when the offense goes out and holds the ball for half of the third quarter. And then gets a couple big plays on defense, obviously. The forced fumble on Chubb, Thornhill's hit was a huge play. Of course, Chris Jones getting a sack there in the fourth quarter, and then the Browns have to punt, and they drop the punt snap. The defense made enough plays in the game to win, especially down the stretch. But overall, I know people are pretty worried about it. How much do you put into, hey, the Browns had a great game plan. They were super aggressive. They went for it on fourth down. And how much do you put on, hey, the Chiefs just was not a good day at the office, and how much can you attribute to be missing a Tyrann Mathieu, kind of the quarterback of the defense?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always have to give the opponent credit. I mean, mm-hmm. and the Browns had a great game plan that they executed perfectly. I mean, I think you have to give it up to them. I mean, they knew what they needed to do. They stuck with it. They didn't get out of their game plan at all. They had an effective idea, and they ran it perfectly. So give them the majority of the credit. But, yes, missing three starters on defense between Tyrann Mathieu, Frank Clark, Willie Gay, that's going to have an effect. And Mathieu was a huge effect because when he's out, that just changes so much of what this defense can do. I mean, I think we saw it. They were blitzing less, which because they just couldn't afford to bring another guy off and leave the second and third level undefended without having Mathieu out there. You know, sometimes you see, we saw maybe one or two, you know, blitzes from LeJarius Sneed, but we know without Mathieu out there, I don't think they were as effective as they usually can be. And then there were some mistakes. I mean, there were some rookie mistakes in there in the run fit sometimes. There were too many holes, and once again, I mean, you probably have to give that to the Browns a little bit because that's a really good offensive line. And certainly things dropped off a little bit after Jerick Willis went out. But, yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of everything. I mean, Brent had a good plan. They executed. The injuries were certainly a factor. And there were some mistakes that I think are fixable, especially some of the rookie mistakes.
Mathieu Derrick of Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Wide receiver two. We know Hill's great. We know Kelsey's great. What about the number two receiver position? Are you still concerned about that?
I think you have to be. You know, I mean, Mecole Hardman was basically the number two guy with three catches for 19 yards. That's not enough. You know, and this team, especially at the end of last year, I mean, we saw it when Sammy Watkins went out. It was a Hill and Kelsey show, and that was it. And that's, again, what we saw on Sunday. And some of that is certainly a byproduct of when the Chiefs get down, you're going to go to the guys you know. You're going to stick with what works. You're going to stick to what you know, and that's Hill and Kelsey. So, yeah, it makes sense that when the Chiefs are behind, those are the guys that Mahomes is going to lean on to make plays. And Mahomes, to his credit, I mean, he took the L on himself and that after the game, you know, saying that he could have done a better job looking for some of the other guys, you know, that he had a play, had a route that Hardman was, you know, could have gotten open on if he just waited a little bit longer. He underthrew a ball into the end zone to Marcus Robinson. You know, there were some opportunities maybe to get the ball elsewhere, but at the same time, one of those guys has to step up, and so far they haven't. You know, and Mecole Hardman's a big one because Hardman, you know, I mean, he is much closer to a Tyreek Hill receiver than he is a Sammy Watkins receiver. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as the opportunities go, Hardman's going to have to make his spots because he's not just going to be given the Tyreek Hill routes. I mean, Tyreek Hill's going to be out there every single play that he's healthy. So Mecole Hardman's got to figure out his own role. And, you know, and DeMarcus Robinson, it still just hasn't quite figured out, you know, what he's got to do to be a consistent presence in this game. Can other guys step up? I mean, can a Byron Pringle step up? It's hard to see, you know, a Marcus Kemp or a Reese Fountain playing themselves into the number two role, but at this point, you're right. I mean, it's absolutely devoid of any one of those players grabbing that position right now.
What really scares me is an injury to Kelsey or Hill because of what you just said, because somebody's going to have to step up. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, the Chiefs relied on those two heavily in the passing game against the Browns, and Kelsey's been pretty doggone durable over the years. And I just feel like you're kind of playing against the odds for him at some point, you know, miss a game or two. I hope that's not the case. You know, Tyreek Hill has missed a few games here and there, but not a ton. Nothing like, obviously, Sammy Watkins. But what about Byron Pringle? A lot of people in our area are big K-State fans, and they sometimes wonder why Pringle's further back on the depth chart. Sometimes he's behind D-Rob. Sometimes he's ahead of D-Rob. D-Rob drives me insane. I'm just going to say it, and I'm not the only one that's going to say this. I would love for him to actually catch the ball and, you know, actually not dance or go backwards and just go forwards. That would be terrific. And not hold it out like a loaf of bread. He drives me nuts. Dave Tobe even said it, and he drives him nuts. And I'm like, well, if he does, then why you got him returning kicks sometimes? But anywho, I belabor that point. But what about Pringle and his role? Is he got a guy that could step up and fill part of that void, you think? Or is it just going to have to be Hardman or Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, it's odd because there are times that the Chiefs seem to show an indication that they want to give Pringle a chance. And there's, you know, hey, he's had some few starts in the NFL. It seemed like there was certainly a message that they were rewarding Pringle and maybe punishing a guy like Hardman, trying to push him a little bit harder. But, yeah, I mean, it's a bit perplexing that you still don't see Pringle getting a ton of opportunities, or at least a significant number of more opportunities, because at this point, I mean, I think DeMarcus Robinson has proven he is what he is. I mean, he's 6 years in the league, and that's fully who he is at this point. So if you're expecting something different, I think you're going to be disappointed. I think there's reason to be concerned, especially with injuries to Hill or Kelsey. I mean, I've said it for a long time that the Chiefs have just played with fire by not having a reliable backup behind Travis Kelsey. And now at least they have a couple of guys behind him who can catch, so that if Kelsey did go down, they've got somebody that can go in there and is a threat to catch the football. But we've seen, you know, even with Hill, when he's been out and it's forced Mahomes to go to other guys, Mahomes is the kind of quarterback, like an Aaron Rodgers, like a Tom Brady, that's going to make receivers better. So if Mahomes doesn't have Tyreek Hill out there, other guys are going to make plays. I mean, we've seen it before. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson's had big games when guys have been out. Mecole Hardman's had big games when people have been out. So if Mahomes is forced to go to other guys, he can and he will, and he'll elevate their games and make them better. But right now, I mean, when you've got those two guys on the field, it's up to the other guys to make plays. And at this point, none of them have shown the ability to do that.
Yeah, that's frustrating. It really is. The run game, they got Hilaire going in the second half a little bit, and I thought Tony Romo did a really good job on the TV broadcast of pointing out the patience of Mahomes and the patience of Andy Reid and the Chiefs being patient, taking what the defense gave them. Mahomes even said after the Super Bowl loss to the Buccaneers that there was some stuff underneath that he didn't take advantage of. I know you and I talked about after the Super Bowl that there were some guys open. People kind of, you know, get all caught up and he was running for his life. There were times where he had to run for his life. There were times where maybe he should have stayed in the pocket a little bit longer. Easy for me and you to say when they got these guys chasing him in the Super Bowl. But what about the patience of the offense trying to, you know, the run game's not going to be something they're going to go out and run for 150 yards a game, but it is still a complementary piece to this offense.
Well, I think they can run 150 yards.
Do you? Okay, we just got to commit to it is what you're saying.
It's just going to be a matter of, you know, if that's what the defense gives them. I mean, at some point this year, you know, the Chiefs are going to face a light box where they're going to see a defense decides to just put six guys in the box and try and challenge them. And Mahomes, if they commit to the run in that situation, they're going to pile up some yards. I mean, Edwards-Helaire's got the ability to do that. But, you know, at least they, you know, they ran the ball, what, maybe I think 16, 17 times outside of some, you know, trick plays and everything. That's a decent commitment to the run. And, you know, they could have been more productive. I think they will be more productive once again when that offensive line starts to gel a bit more. Once again, I mean, this was a tough defense and a tough defensive front that they were up against. And, you know, you saw it. I mean, that even one of those trick plays that Tyreek Hill in the backfield that Jadeveon Clowney buried, not most guys in the league are Jadeveon Clowney that are going to be able to make that play. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think it will be different when they're up against different opponents. But, I mean, so much to me is going to be on that offensive line. It's going to be what kind of holes can they open up, the consistency that they can develop. You know, Edwards-Helaire kind of learning where the holes are going to be. I thought Edwards-Helaire, at least, you know, he caught a couple of passes in that game, which I think is also an important deal that he needs to be a part of the passing game. That quarterback or the running back throw and pass, I mean, the Chiefs really kind of consider that part of their run game, too. So it's an extension of it. So they want that to be productive as well, and it's getting there. So I think there's certainly some signs of optimism, and at least in that game you saw that there was at least a commitment to the run. It wasn't a case where they just decided to abandon it completely and got away from it. But it will, I think, make things a whole lot easier if they can run the ball effectively, especially, once again, in those short yardage situations, which, you know, they didn't show necessarily that they can do. I mean, I love the Blake Bell quarterback sneak.
Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely a play that feel free to run that again.
Yeah,
I have no problem running that play. But you got to be able to trust the run game. You got to be able to trust that you can give it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and not have to call for a underhand shovel pass to Mike Rimmers in the red zone to try and get something done.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. I didn't. Rimmers looked like the Rimmers there. I once again the TV broadcast. I thought caught it. Rimmers looked like a guy that I coached first and second grade flag football, and he looked like the guy that came in and was like all excited to get the ball, and everybody knew it. They were completely prepared for that play. I'm just thankful he didn't fumble that one, man.
Yeah, we saw a few variations on that. We did not see that one in training camp that I remember, but we saw a few other, you know, and Mike Rimmers and Andrew Wiley both ran those plays. So I've seen enough now in training camp that whenever Mike Rimmers or Andrew Wiley comes in as a sixth offensive lineman in the red zone, I'm thinking the ball's going their way.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. Let's go back to the defense before we get to the Ravens and then the off-the-wall question. Nick Bolton, linebacker has been a big concern for me, especially if Hitchens is out. And he got hurt on a play where Kareem Hunt tried to hurdle a defender, landed on Hitchens. He came to the sideline. I was fearing he broke his arm the way he was holding his arm or an elbow injury. And, you know, Matthew and Hitchens are so valuable, this defense, and getting people lined up in the right way, kind of quarterbacks on this D. And Willie Gay's out for a few weeks, and he's very talented but hasn't played very much in his career so far. But Nick Bolton really impressed me, made some really big plays for this defense. What are your thoughts of the linebacking core and as it is now, and your thoughts on Bolton's play?
Yeah, Bolton came in with a reputation that he was going to be a downhill player that tackles well. And did both those things extremely well. I mean, probably one of the better tackling performances I've seen from a Chiefs linebacker in a while. I mean, if he hits somebody, they're going to go down. That's just the one really nice trait about Nick Bolton. The other thing he's just got to be able to work on, though, is just, you know, he is a really aggressive downhill player, and you can bite him on the play action. You know, he had some of those fits where maybe guys got away from him or he overcommitted to the run, and then when the Browns threw the football, he was a bit out of position. Those are all coachable. Those are teachable. And with his football IQ and his recognition, I think he'll get those down. But the stuff that you can't really coach at the NFL level, I mean, tackling, he's got that down. And he's going to be a sure-handed tackler. The injury to Hitchens, yeah, that worried me just a bit because, you know, we don't know the extent of it. Obviously, he came back into the game. But, you know, at this level, you know, you got to use your arms to tackle. And, you know, tackling guys with one arm can be tough. So you got to hope that elbow injury is maybe just a kind of a funny bone hit or something and not anything, an injury that's going to bother him for a while, because we've seen elbow injuries with defensive guys can be a problem. Willie Gay, I think when he comes back in October, is going to be a really effective player. I mean, we saw a different guy in training camp than we saw last year. And getting him back, I think, will change the dimension of that defense. It will put Nick Bolton in a little bit different role, put Ben Neiman in a little bit different role. And I think those are all positives. I mean, Nick Bolton's a promising player. But I think at this point, if he's a guy who's playing 30-40% of the snaps in specific situations, I think that's a really good fit for him. And Gay can do obviously a lot of the same things. He's not going to be as good of a tackler as Bolton is, but he's faster. And so I'm intrigued to see what happens when that linebacker crew is full strength again, because I think it's going to be one of the stronger, you know, linebacker units that this team's had since at least, you know, DJ was better, more in his prime.
Tyrann Mathieu didn't play on Sunday, but he was activated off the COVID list. What did you get an official reason why he didn't end up suiting up? Was it just a matter of lack of practice time, or what was the reason why he didn't play on Sunday?
Yeah, Andy Reid said it was purely his call, that Tyrann wanted to play, but Reid did not think it was fair to him. You know, remember, he went on the COVID list on September 1st, and because of the way that the NFL preseason now is scheduled, the players by the collective bargaining agreement get that weekend off after the last preseason game. So they get a 3-4 day weekend right there. And for the Chiefs, they were treating that as basically a game week. So that Wednesday, they were planning to come in and start practicing that week at a light practice on Tuesday. So literally after that last preseason game, you know, Tyrann Mathieu only had one light practice. And that was it for the last, you know, basically 16 days leading into that game. And Reid just did not, you know, feel like that was fair to Tyrann Mathieu to put him out there after not practicing for that period of time. And, you know, watching him during warm-ups, I didn't think that he looked as comfortable as he normally does. Now, that's from nine stories up in the press box.
Sure.
But and Tyrann Mathieu certainly wanted to play. You could tell it. But yeah, I think that was probably the fair decision not to put Mathieu in that spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, so the Ravens, the next opponent coming up on Sunday. Ravens lost a heartbreaker last night in overtime to the Raiders, 33-27. Lamar Jackson's always a threat, but the Chiefs have had his number. Certainly, Chiefs had the Ravens' number recently. Former Chief Sammy Watkins is now with the Ravens. What are your thoughts on this matchup coming up on Sunday? Because to me, what I saw last night, and granted, different matchups, so forth and so on, but the Ravens didn't get a ton of pressure on Derek Carr. They had to bring extra blitzers and extra guys, and if they do that against the Chiefs, I think it's going to be a long night for the Raven defense.
Yeah, they just seem to be missing too many pieces, just too many injuries. Losing Marcus Peters on that defense is a big blow. The running backs that they've had to go through really takes the bite a little bit out of that offense even more. It was a really entertaining game between a couple of teams that I think are going to be in that 9-8, 8-9, maybe 10-7 category if everything goes well. I mean, the Ravens are just not the same as they were last year with all of those injuries. This is a more winnable game for the Chiefs than it looked like a couple of weeks ago. So I think they get the win. It's going to be tough. I mean, anytime you have to go to Baltimore, it's going to be tough, but the Ravens coming off that loss, you got to think that they probably got back to Baltimore after that game at 4 or 5 o'clock this morning Eastern time. That's a rough week ahead for them. So I think the Chiefs get the win. I'm thinking something along the lines of 27-20. But it should be a good game, but I think at this point the Chiefs are clearly the better team.
Well, it's been a while since the Chiefs have blown somebody out. Well, 8 straight games have been super, super tight. So maybe this will be the one where the Chiefs will take care of the Ravens easily. Who knows? Who do you think is the biggest obstacle standing away of the Chiefs in the AFC? Who's the biggest obstacle? Is it Cleveland, who the Chiefs just got by, or is it the Bills? I mean, who's the team that you're sitting here looking on the schedule, or just in the AFC in general, that poses a threat to the Chiefs, the biggest threat?
Yeah, in my rankings, I would have had the Bills at number 2 heading into this weekend. After this weekend, I think I've got to move the Browns up to number 2. I mean, this is the second time that they've come into Arrowhead in a row and given the Chiefs a battle. I think they're close. They just need to have that composure component that the Chiefs have, but that they don't have yet. Buffalo, that was not a bad loss necessarily because it's Pittsburgh, but at the same time, at home,
yeah,
you got to win that game. It's a good win for the Steelers. I had the Steelers down for a regression this year, so I'm not ready to move them up to the number 3 yet, but I would say I'd have the Bills at 3 and the Steelers at 4 right now.
Yeah, the Steelers with a brand new offensive line, 4 new offensive line starters, and go to Buffalo, did nothing in the first half, and then come through with 23 points in the second half, got a blocked punt return for a score as well. The Bills did not look good on offense, which really surprised me in that one, but there's plenty of time to change it around. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you. Matthew Derrick at Chiefs Digest, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Always appreciate his time. There's lots of movies that are out there every day on the show, or usually on Waterside Wake Up we do in the mornings here in North Central Kansas. We'll play a movie clip, and people got to guess what the movie is, and they win free movie tickets. What's a movie that is kind of a guilty pleasure for you? A movie that people might not think of as a great movie, but you really like? Or perhaps there's a movie that, no matter when it comes on television, and you watched it 15 times or 1,000 times, you just can't stop watching it again, even though you know exactly what happens.
There's probably a few of those, and some of them were good movies, so I won't put them into that category. But it's funny you mention that, because I was just trying to... I love to just listen to something in the background while I'm doing things, whether it's a TV show or a movie or anything, and I was just racking my brain the other day trying to find something while I was working around the house, and it inevitably, it seems like whenever I run out of anything, I put on National Treasure, or one of those two National Treasure movies with Nick Cage. They're bad movies. They're just, you know, they're not great.
No, they're not.
But for whatever reason, I just, like, I can't. Not, I can't avoid them. I just, like, if I see it, I'm like, well, whatever.
Yeah, well, we all have those, man. That's okay. That's fine. I agree. I don't think they're great movies, but there's certain movies that I watch too that people say that I love Dumb and Dumber. They're like, that's a dumb movie. I go, I know it's dumb. It's called Dumb and Dumber for crying out loud. Okay, I get it. You know, the Adam Sandler movies are pretty, you know, when I was growing up, they were funny. When I go back and watch them now, some of them aren't so funny. They are kind of dumb. And then some of them I still enjoy. But you know what? When they come on, I still watch them. And so I have those guilty pleasures as well. So I appreciate you sharing yours with Nicolas Cage and National Treasure. That's pretty awesome. Let everybody know how they can follow you and read your work online, and we appreciate everything that you do for covering the Chiefs. Matthew, let everybody know how they can get your work.
Yeah, you can go to chiefsdigest.com, and usually do most of my stuff on social media, on Twitter, at Matt Derrick.
Always a pleasure, Matt. We'll talk to you later on in the season.
All right, take care, Wade.
That's Matt Derrick. He's the best in the business, man. Does a great job covering the Chiefs, Chiefs Digest. Check him out online.